Well, as you can tell, I'm not Brother Sam Woody. He's actually taller than me, but I think I have more hair than him. I was looking forward to his lesson today. The reading that Sam had was actually his reading. I spoke to him about 7:15 this morning when he told me he couldn't be here. And so in trying to determine what I was going to speak about this morning, I didn't think of a reading. But so we'll probably hear that reading again next time Brother Sam's here. But I'm sure it would have been a good lesson. But one of the things today, if you don't know, Sam lives in Holt, Missouri. And as town goes, that's a tiny place. So I'm not surprised he couldn't get out this morning. So, but what I want to talk about this morning is I want to ask you, are you comfortable? Well, when somebody asks you that question, you usually have something to do with your physical comfort. You're either too warm or you're too hot or you're just right, kind of like the three bears. But what I want to speak about this morning is your spiritual comfort. Are you comfortable spiritually? I think that's something we need to consider after a while. We don't want to get too comfortable here in our physical life on earth. Because I know that we all spend a lot of time trying to make ourselves physically comfortable. And there's nothing wrong with that. We all have our comfort zones. We have our comfort rooms. We have our comfortable chairs. You know, Jesus had really none of those. So every once in a while, we need to be nudged out of our comfort zone. And, you know, when we get that way, we become preoccupied a lot of times with getting back in our comfort zone because it's uncomfortable. And so, but one of the things we might realize that being uncomfortable may be God's way of telling us not to get comfortable here, not to get too comfortable here. Sometimes we may be uncomfortable because our spiritual comfort and our physical comfort, they are opposing one another. And so this morning, I want to speak just a little bit about the comfort of God, or the comfort that we should receive from God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because we live in a world that sometimes makes us very uncomfortable. Paul did. And, you know, as a result, the Apostle Paul had a desire to go home and be with God. I don't know how strongly we have a desire to go home and be with God, but hopefully we do have that desire within us. And so one of the things I want to speak about this morning is what kind of comfort that is offered to Christians. Comfort for this life that can help us endure the trials that we are going to have to go through, the troubles that we have. I think it's very important is that we consider these things. And one of the things that we should consider that should make us uncomfortable is sin. That's probably at the top of the list. And so when a person's life becomes plagued with sin, or you become induced to think about sinning, then it should be uncomfortable. Because sin is a burden. Sin is a burden that you carry around. For the Christian especially, we're talking about, sin's going to be a burden to you if you're a Christian. In Psalm 38 and verse 4, it reads, the psalmist said, that a sin is a heavy burden that we cannot carry, and one that drowns us if we try to do so. So it's like if you're a Christian and you're carrying sin around, you're drowning. It's as if you're drowning. One of the things, if we allow ourselves to carry sin around, we may allow ourselves to neglect, which would be bad enough, but also that we might forsake Jesus, and we'll think only of ourselves. But there are uncomfortable circumstances that come with that. Another uncomfortable feature in this life is the fact that we're going to all and eventually face death. We don't think about that a lot, I don't think, until we find ourselves in a situation where it might occur. I know if you were a soldier and in a war zone, it's going to be one of the things that's going to be at the top of your list. You're going to try and stay alive. We should have that attitude about sin. We want to stay alive. And so, but the fact that we have loved ones that die or died and they were nearer to us, that sometimes makes us uncomfortable and uneasy. And the fact that we might one day die can bring us discomfort. Sickness also can bring us discomfort. We have to deal about sickness in our own lives. We have to deal about sickness that affects our friends. And so when someone gets a dreaded disease like cancer, it's very discomforting, not just to the person that has it, but to the whole family. But the one thing that should cause us a lot of discomfort is that we live in a world of immorality. The world around us is basically immoral. For the child of God, it should be uncomfortable for us to live in a world where we are surrounded by sin. Things like same-sex marriage, people living together before marriage, you know, that's no longer the ideal. That's no longer the standard with, I think, especially with the current generation. These are against the standard that God has set for us in His Word. These things should make us feel uncomfortable. Worldliness is just all around us, and the desire to be like the world can cause you discomfort if you're a Christian. So it may cause war in our members, which is what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7 and verse 23. I think I'll just read, talking about this war within ourselves. If you have this war, or you can see what the Apostle Paul is saying here. For we know, this is beginning in verse 14 of chapter 7, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate to do, that I do. If then I do what I will not do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that it in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is to be present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will do, I do not do, but the evil I will not do, that I practice. If I do what I will not do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. I find then a law, that evil is present within me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God, according to the inward man. But I see another law in my member, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me unto captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And then he goes on to say, who will do that? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. I think what the Apostle Paul is saying here is be careful. Be careful if you have this war going on in your mind. And so I also think about 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4, where God is said to be a God of comfort. Paul wrote, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves comforted by God. So, If we are in tribulation, at war with sin and in our life, the apostle reminds us, where do we look? We look to God. And I would also look to God first. Sometimes we don't always look to God first, but we really should. As I read in these verses, I've been reading in these verses, the word comfort occurs several times, and it's generally directly associated with God. He is the reason that we can have comfort. He offers comfort to us in our difficulties, and in turn, we can help others who are having trouble. If someone comes to you and they are having a problem or dealing with something, we need to point them to the God of comfort. We need to remind them the sacrifice of Jesus the Christ for our sin, and put them back on a path, you know, a right track. Just the fact that God exists, you know, can bring us or should bring us great comfort. If we go to Psalm 14 and 1, we read, "The fool is the one who says in his heart, there is no God." So the very fact that God exists should bring peace in our life. Nature tells us that there's a God. All we have to do is look at the world around us, and we can see there is a God who created us, who cares for us, and each one of us. I think of the words in Psalm 19, 1 and 2, where the psalmist said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge." So we look around us, we can see the creation, we know that God cares for us, he's placed us in his creation, he has blessed us with many blessings, and so the design that he has given us in nature and in our own bodies should show us that he cares for us. Maybe we ought to think about that a little more often during our day. God cares for me, and so I should care about God. If we go to Romans chapter 1, verses 18 and 21, the apostle talks about the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen through the things he has made. So we look around the world, we look at the trees, and we witness the changing of the seasons, of the stars in the heaven. We look at the trees, and we see how everything is so well coordinated, how everything works together. Climate, for instance. I'll be glad when we get to the next climate. I'll be glad to get out of the climate we're in right now. But we live in a place where we have a change of climate. Some people don't. But we can see from nature that God exists. If we go to Acts chapter 14 and verse 17, it tells us that the very changing of these seasons is evidence or a witness to God so that we can know who he is. You know, and nature not only tells us that God exists, but of course his the Word of God tells us about God's abilities. It tells us about his power. And it also tells us about his love for each one of us. Sometimes we overlook that. I think of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In Genesis 1:26, he said, "Let us make man in our image." Thus God breathed into man the bread of life, and man became a living being. So the Word of God tells us that God exists, that we have been created in his image, and that is God who gives us life. And God will give us eternal life. He's also promised us that through his Son, Jesus the Christ. And we can know that the Bible is a trustworthy book because in it we can see the inspiration of God. The text of 2 Timothy, for instance, chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, through the Scriptures, what do we have? What did he say we have? We have completeness, and we have the equipping of God. God equips us. The Bible is the inspired Word of God, and it reveals exactly who God is. Thinking about 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 20 through 21. "Knowing this first, no prophecy of Scripture is given by private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Psalm 119 and 160. "The entirety of your word is truth." So that's how important. That's how important we know the Word of God, because it is in its entirety truth. So not only from nature can we know there was a God, but we can also know from His Word that He exists, who He is. And the very fact that we can know God and that we can have a relationship with Him really should give us comfort in this life. And we need to listen to what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10 as he thought about having a relationship with God. Paul said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death. You know, it brought Paul great comfort that he could know God and that he could have a relationship with Him. It should bring great comfort to us that we can know God and we can have that relationship with Him that the Apostle Paul had. John 17, verse 3 teaches that, and this is eternal life, that you may know, that they may know you, the only true God. So this implies that we can have a deep and abiding relationship. The Word of God speaks to us, to our spiritual security. It comforts us on our journey to heaven, that we can have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus the Christ. Now, there are certain things about the nature of God that can bring us comfort. The fact that God is an unchanging God. He's the same today, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's unchanging. Not like our human frailties. We are sometimes not unchanging. But we need to be steadfast. Another thing that we are told about God in His Word, that He cannot lie. Now, living in a world of sometime I think that most of the people are liars, that's a comforting thing to know, that God's not going to lie to you. That should comfort us. If we go over to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, God said, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O God of O sons of Jacob." So here God was reassuring the Israelites that He had an unchanging nature. He didn't have the nature of man. He is God. He does not change. You know, and this is a wonderful attribute to have, and it should bring us comfort knowing that God does not change. We know if God says something that we can rest assured that it's going to be that way. God is a God, not a God who lies to us. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 says that it's impossible for God to lie. Titus 1 and 2 teaches that we're living in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time begun. Thus, God's unchanging nature, the fact that He will not lie to us, should bring us comfort. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we can know that the Savior is going to be by our side, that He is going to stand by our side. We're going to know that we can put our trust in Him, that He will care for us. He cares for each one of us. You know, it's a staggering thought to me that God knows the number of hairs on your head or the number of sparrows. That gives us an insight to just how powerful, how knowledgeable God is. So how do we know that God is a God of love? Well, we know because of the sacrifice that He made through His Son, Jesus, that God is a God of love. John 3:16, of course, the very famous verse that most everybody knows, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. And that should be a core verse that we have within us because of the comfort that it gives us. He loved us so much, He gave His only Son for us. So listen to Romans 5, verses 7 and 8. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but yet for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love towards us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So this is the kind of God that we serve. This is the God who offers us comfort. I think of the words of John, 1 John 4 and 8, where it just simply states that God is love. And we contrast that to the world that we live in. Everything in our world, physical world that we live in, subject to change. Our bodies, our laws, our circumstances. And it's good to know that our God doesn't change. So that should bring us comfort. To know that God loves us more than we can even begin to imagine. And He has promised to help us in this life through the difficulties that we experience. But to help us, we need to ask. And one of the things that should also bring us comfort is that we can ask God for His help, for His strength, for His power. Another thing that we can trust God is that He's a just God. Question is asked in Genesis 18:25. Here's the question. Will not the God of all the earth do right? So what we have to the answer to that question is a resounding yes. The God, Nahum 1:7 teaches us that God is not one who will acquit the wicked. God is a just God. Those that deserve punishment are going to be punished by Him. And so we had to keep that in mind. But when people deserve a reward, when they deserve comfort, He's going to reward them. We go to the text of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 25. This is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. God's not going to go back on His promises, so this is a confidence that we can have in God. He's not going to go back on His promises. We can be reminded of the words of Jesus in John chapter 12 and verse 48 when He said, He who rejects me and does not receive my word has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken, will judge him in the last day. So it's important that we know the word, we take it in, we meditate on it, and it should give us comfort knowing we know his word, we know his son, and so he is going to give us a righteous judgment in the day of judgment. So, if we live our lives by the Bible, we follow the precepts that we find there, then we can know without a shadow of a doubt that we are saved. But if there's no those that's going to refuse God to do God's will, and those who live in rebellion of Him, then we can know that they're not going to be saved. So we should be comforted by the fact that we are going to be judged by an objective standard. And that standard is the Word of God. And that's why it's so important that we know that. Another attribute of God is that He promises to protect and care for us in this life. One of the first wonderful things we have as a Christian is God's providential care. The psalmist said, Psalm 23 and verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." So we can take comfort in the fact that God does care for us. He wants to protect us. He wants to take care of us in this life. So as we walk through the valley of our earthly existence, God's rod and staff are there to protect us. And so that ought to bring each of us great peace in our mind. And we'd also need to think about the encouraging words in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 or 6, where the writer speaks about the confidence that we can have in God. He says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I'll not fear. What can man do to me? God has promised that He'll never forsake us or leave us. And so that ought to bring us great comfort that we know as we walk down the path of life, God is going to be with us, and the key to the comfort is doing God's will. We need to think about a lot of the things that we have. He's promised to protect us. He's promised to provide for us. One of the things that we need to be is content. Have you ever been around a person who was never content? And it does something to their mind. And we have the people that they get something and they want more. And then they want more. It's never enough. We need to be content. We also see in the Bible that God is the one who protects us from Satan. He does care for our needs. In 1 Timothy, we are told that the devil is conniving. Ephesians 6 and 11 describes him as having many, some of your Bibles are going to say wiles. I think a subversive tactics would be good there instead of wiles. That's, Jesus said in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, he realized that Satan was trying to take an active role in Peter's life. So we have to understand that Satan would like to take an active role in your life. He said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. So today, God has promised to protect us from Satan by providing the plan of salvation, giving us his word to follow in life. And so, going to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 teaches us that Jesus has ultimately defeated the devil. Satan may cause us to struggle. He may cause us problems in this life. But we can take comfort in the fact that Jesus likewise shared these same things, and that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. But Satan has been defeated by the Savior. And because of that, Jesus offered himself as the perfect sacrifice. So we can have forgiveness of our sin. That should give us comfort. Well, how does God protect us and care for us? Well, he helps us with the greatest problem we have, the one at the top of the list, which is sin. We will sum up all the problems that we had in this life. We very likely can trace them back to sin. We go to Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand's not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. So what is the problem that causes man and God to be at odds with one another? Well, it's sin. Romans chapter 3, verse 2-3 teaches us that all have sinned, falling short of the glory of God. Ezekiel commented on this in chapter 18 and verse 4. The soul that sins shall surely die. But here's the good news. Although sin brings us trouble, it brings us separation from God, Jesus came into the world to deal with our sin problem so that we'd not have to bear the guilt and the burden of our sin. In John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Immerser sees Jesus approaching, and he says, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Psalm 103:10 says, The Lord has not dealt with us according to our sin, nor punished us according to our iniquities. We have not received what we deserve. Why not? It's because Jesus gave himself a sacrifice. We have in Matthew 26 and 28 some familiar verses. Jesus is taking the Passover with his disciples. And he takes the cup and he says, This is my body. This is my blood of the new covenant, shed for many for the remission of sin. Jesus has dealt with our sin problem once and for all by his sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 says that Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, sat out at the right hand of God. And there's a lot more I could say about this, but we are about out of time. One of the things we need to remember that Jesus has actually promised us care for our physical needs in life. There's a beautiful passage in Psalm 37, verse 25. We have David who is reminiscing about his life. And he thinks about the care of God, and he says, I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous, nor his descendants, begging for bread. David's point is that righteous people don't have to stand on the street corner and beg for food. And I think that's a practical lesson because over and over we see in the Bible where God is taking care of his children. Philippians chapter 4:19 reads, May God supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, he didn't say God would supply all our wants, all our desires, all our passions, but he did say our needs. And so in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus brings us, as he discusses God's care regarding food, shelter, and clothes, he says, first, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And these things, and here he's talking about food and shelter, clothing, will be added to you, so that we can know God in this life has promised to care for us. He's promised to protect us. But think about the encouraging passages that we have in the Bible that help us when we find ourselves struggling with a problem, or we can turn to when we're depressed or disturbed. Think of those words in Psalm 119, 50, which is such an encouraging passage as it relates to God's word bringing us comfort. It reads, "This is my comfort in affliction, for your word has given me life." Isn't it wonderful to know that as the psalmist says, that in times of great affliction, we can have the word of God. Romans 15 and 4. "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." So the Scriptures are meant to give us comfort in this life. Philippians 4 and 13 is another. "I can do all things through him who strengthened me." So with Jesus at our side, even in the most difficult of times, we can overcome and we can attain victory. So he also said in Hebrews 13:5-6, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" So, and in closing, in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And so that should bring us great comfort. So what we went through here, talking about the comforts of God, his word will comfort us. His word will give us hope. His word will make us overcomers. His word will give us contentment. His word will give us help. His word will help us overcome our fears. So these are those thoughts I had as we think about comfort. And I think the most important thing is we don't get too comfortable in the physical things of this world. We should be able to accept what God gives us in life and be comforted by the fact that he loves us and he has prepared a place for us. We'll offer the invitation if there's someone here who is subject to it. You have not been immersed into Christ. We invite you to come forward and take care of that at this time as Jack leads the final song.